today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you.
Music critic Alicia Steen contends that when it comes to iconic songs that have left an indelible mark on the music scene, Wonderwall by Oasis undoubtedly takes its place among the elite. Released in 1995 as part of their critically acclaimed album, What's the Story, Morning Glory? This is a timeless anthem, and it continues to captivate audiences around the world, and that can be attributed to a combination of factors, from its catchy melodies to its intriguing lyrics. One of the reasons why Wonderwall has stood the test of time is the emotional connection it makes with listeners. The song resonates with individuals at different stages in their lives, reflecting on personal struggles, relationships, and finding solace amidst chaos. Through its heartfelt and introspective lyrics, Oasis struck a chord with a generation searching for meaning and hope. But beyond its lyrical depth, Wonderwall showcases Oasis at its musical peak. The song's memorable acoustic guitar opening instantly grabs attention and sets the tone for what is to come. Liam Gallagher's impassioned vocals carry a sense of vulnerability, yet maintain an undeniable power that draws listeners in. Steen continues, above all, Wonderwall symbolizes Oasis' ability to transcend musical boundaries. While they were renowned for their raucous rock and roll anthems, this ballad-style track showcased a different side of their artistry. It highlighted Noel Gallagher's admiration for classic songwriting influenced by legendary artists such as John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Furthermore, the song's inclusion in popular culture, both at the time of its release and beyond, played a significant role in its enduring popularity. It became a staple at live performance festivals and even found its way into films, commercials, and television shows. Its presence in these mediums ensured that Wonderwall remained relevant and accessible to new generations of listeners. If we knew the tune, and if we know it now, we may nod in agreement with Alicia Steen's views, and we may want to download the piece and hear it again. And that's where most of us would leave it. But if we are young musicians hungry to learn everything we can about a song like Wonderwall that has endured for decades, then we might go deeper and listen more closely to try to understand why it's such a great song, so that when we start writing our own songs, we'll know our craft even better. Or when we play the tune in concert, we'll not just dutifully play the notes, but we'll connect with the song's spirit and reach our audience more directly. Here's the way young players at the Uptown Music Collective in Williamsport might explore the tune, noticing the way it begins. Wonderwall begins with Noel's acoustic guitar strum and Liam's somewhat mysterious first lines. Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized that you got to do what you got to do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. While it's impossible to discern the details of the situation, we can glean that the person he's addressing is at a lonely crossroads in her life, with the narrator the only one still standing in her corner. As the peppery drums of Alan White kick in, and Paul Bonehead Arthurs plays a mellotron that sounds like a mournful cello, Liam hints at his love's doused spirit and gives the obligatory nod to the Beatles with the mention of winding roads. Whatever physical obstacles lie in the couple's path, They're nothing compared with the narrator's inability to express his feelings. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. And yet he finds a way in the stirring chorus as Liam delivers Noel's words by stretching out each vowel sound almost past the breaking point. It's a mesmerizing tactic. Because maybe you're going to be the one that saves me, he sings, and after all, you're my Wonderwall. All that from Jim Zuavia. Students at the Uptown Music Collective in Williamsport get the power of that song, and they've taken Wonderwall as the title of their upcoming concert as their 2024-2025 performance season continues. Wonderwall, the ultimate 90s mix, to be presented at the Community Arts Center on Saturday, March 15th. We had a chance to talk by phone with Jared Mondell, Assistant Executive Director of the Uptown Music Collective, about the school and about Wonderwall.
The Uptown Music Collective is a nonprofit school of music based in Williamsport, PA. We've been around for going on 25 years. We'll actually start celebrating our 25th anniversary in April. And we teach private lessons on guitar, bass, drums, vocals, and keyboards. Those are the primary instruments that we teach. We also offer classes and workshops. And then the culmination of all of those lessons, classes, and workshops result in our performance programs, which you and I will soon be discussing.
There are many wonderful things about the performance program, but one of them is that they are such a hit with the public. Not only are they wonderful for your students, but the public really responds.
We have been having a stellar response from our community and our fans. You know, when we first started out doing these, I think we started our first performance, big performance was back in 2004. And it was pretty much, you know, family and friends of the performers. Now we have grown where we are pulling people from out of state that come in to see these performances, especially at the Community Arts Center, and people that have no other connection to us whatsoever, except that they have seen or heard about our performances and they want to be a part of our fan base and our community.
You've told us these programs that are put on for the public at places like the Community Arts Center are produced largely by the students themselves. Tell us how they come to choose a focus, a theme, how they do the lights, all of that.
This program especially is extremely student-driven. The staff just kind of oversees and offers guidance where we can. But the decisions on what shows we make come from a lot of different things. Over the summer, we always like to have what we call our people's choice voting so that our friends and our fans and our community can offer their suggestions as to what they would like to see the students perform. The students themselves, especially the seniors, when they get up to being a director of a show, you know, they have some of their own ideas that they like to pitch, and it's a very democratic process. We take all of the ideas, the students kind of run with them, they come up with presentations that they pitch to the staff and to their peers, and we narrow it down from a very wide variety of shows and suggestions, and we get it down to four major performances that we do each performance season.
Okay, drum roll, please, Jared. What's the theme for this one?
This one is called Wonderwall, the ultimate 90s mix. So last January, we did a tribute to 90s era grunge. So Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, those types of bands. And there was a lot of comment that there was so much more of the 90s rock and pop music than just Nirvana, although they were extremely popular and genre-defining, genre-changing. So the kids kind of tucked that in the back of their minds. And when it came to picking shows for this season, we revisited that idea of what if we went back and did kind of a spiritual sequel to this grunge show that we did last January. And we do some of the music that wouldn't necessarily fit into a grunge show, but would definitely fit into a 90s popular rock show. So we're talking bands and artists like the Foo Fighters, Oasis, Natalie Merchant, Jewel, Hootie and the Blowfish, Counting Crows, a lot of those bands that really came up and became popular in the 90s, some that did not necessarily make it past the 90s, but some that really got started in the 90s and then grew from there and kind of grew out of, some of them growing out of the grunge movement. Foo Fighters is a perfect example of that.
And so when the students are saying, okay, this is what we'd like to do, and they make their pitch for it, what do they know about what you've just suggested, that the Foo Fighters grew out of and Natalie Merchant is descended from? What do they know about the tradition and where these bands fit other than horizontally in the 90s?
Well, that's kind of part of the educational experience. Obviously, we are rooted at being a school. So when the students start doing their research and they start looking into this stuff, a lot of it admittedly will start in this day and age, especially they'll go to something like YouTube, they'll go to something like Spotify, and they'll just start typing in very broad strokes, 90s pop rock, we'll say. And then they start doing their research. And then they start, for example, you mentioned Natalie Merchant. Okay, well, they may discover 10,000 Maniacs. And then from 10,000 Maniacs, then they discover that Natalie Merchant was the singer of 10,000 Maniacs. And she had a solo career after 10,000 Maniacs. And they listen to that music and it fits what we're talking about. And it just kind of, it works out that way. And they have educated themselves on that path and they incorporate that into their presentation. Same kind of thing with, you know, we were talking about the Foo Fighters. So last January when we did the grunge show, they were obviously getting intimately familiar with Nirvana. From Nirvana, you get yourself Dave Grohl. After Nirvana ended, Dave Grohl wanted to start another project. He started the Foo Fighters. He didn't necessarily expect it was going to be anything. The very first Foo Fighters album was just all, everything was performed and written by Dave Grohl himself. He just didn't want to put his name on it. And it spawned into now the Foo Fighters in 2025 are one of the biggest rock bands ever. So it kind of follows a very natural and organic progression. And again, a lot of this music, even today, 30 some odd years after a lot of this stuff was released in the 90s, you still hear it daily on contemporary and pop rock radio stations. So they're aware of these songs, they're aware of these bands, but it's just them digging in a little bit more to it.
It's easy to pick, for the audience's pleasure, the hits, the greatest hits of the Foo Fighters and all of the rest. But do they go listening for what really are the best songs by these individuals or these groups rather than taking the...
That's a really good question, because it's always interesting. You know, we're trying to dilute some of this stuff down to, we want it to be about a two-hour show, 2.5 hours with an intermission. So it's very hard to hit everything that we would want to hit, or in the fact that some people may expect us to hit. For example, you know, I'm talking about a lot of these bands that are in here, but people may only be getting one or two Foo Fighters songs out of this show, or, you know, one or two Oasis songs out of this show, because there is so much music to go through. And when we talk about picking the songs, and how we pick those songs, and rather how the students pick those songs, it's a good combination of what were their most popular tunes. And then there are some where if we have students that are really big fans of some of these songs, they will petition, or lobby rather, to really include maybe a deeper cut that might not have been as popular, but is a really good song and a really good example of the band that we're representing. So, for example, and I don't really want to give away any spoilers, but we're calling the show Wonderwall. I think it's pretty obvious that we will be doing Wonderwall by Oasis, obviously one of their most popular songs from that time period. So stuff like that, it all kind of comes together where there is a culmination of the hits, but there might be some deep cuts in there. It also helps with the flow of the show. I was absolutely dating myself when I was speaking to the students a few weeks ago about this show. And I was going over the set list and I was going over the order, and I had to educate almost all of them on making a mix CD or a mixtape and burning a CD with all of the songs that you specifically like on it, and getting them to understand that when I was their age and younger, I couldn't go to something like Spotify and just make a playlist real quick. I had to sit down and download these songs and burn them to a CD, and they would always be a wide variety of songs. And I said to them, I was like, you know, this show is almost like you guys are making a live mix CD on stage from the 90s. And is it going to have everything that everybody wants to hear? No, probably not. But that's why we can always go back and revisit this. Maybe 2 years down the line, a kid goes, hey, why don't we go back to that 90s pop Wonderwall thing that we did and pick up some of the other songs that we didn't do that were just as good? Because if we tried to do everything, everybody would be sitting in the theater for a day or longer. So it's a real interesting combination of all of these things that helped formulate the set list. And I think that people come out and they're going to have a good time no matter what. And even if they say, you know, I was hoping that you were going to play this song and I didn't hear it, well, maybe next time we will, or maybe next time when we are offering the ability to vote and you can speak up and obviously let us know what you want to hear, that's your suggestion then.
Mix is in the very title of the program. It's going to be presented. And when you describe a mixed tape or a mixed CD, I knew DJs in college who would work very hard to make mixed tapes for their friends. They'd choose the songs very carefully. They'd arrange them carefully. They'd try to work for a flow. They'd have interesting juxtapositions from one piece to the next to keep the ear interested and to delight and surprise their friends. And really, that's the kind of thing that the students are going to learn from programming in this way that they might need when they go out into the world and perform as band leaders.
Absolutely. And that really comes into play when they're picking the order of the show. You know, picking the songs is one thing, but picking the order, especially if the theme of the show doesn't necessarily dictate the order. So what I mean by that is sometimes we do tributes to whole albums. Well, we don't have to worry about the order at that point because we're doing the album front to back. You know, that's pretty easy. We don't have to think about it. But on shows like this, where we are really making a mix, they do have to concern themselves of what the flow is going to be like. Where are the slow songs going to be? Where are the upbeat songs going to be? What are we going to start and end each set with? And it is very much like what you're talking about, making yourself a mix CD or a mix tape or something that you would share with your friends. And it was almost like a point of pride that you got that mix just right. And you had your friends' attention through the entire listen of everything.
And when you say it's a student-driven experience, they really do the tech stuff so that they can go out into the world and know how to do this when they wind up really doing it for a living, for example.
Absolutely. We have so many students involved in the program. The odds of all of them graduating high school and going on to be musicians, that's not really realistic. We'll say maybe 10% of our graduating classes go on to study music and go on to, you know, actually do the musician style things when they graduate and beyond. But there is that other track of the technical things. We have students that solely work on the lighting scheme for the show. They work on the stage plot, how the stage is going to be laid out. Then they work with the lighting people to say, okay, well, this is what the stage plot is. This is where we need the lights to hit. We have people that work with the sound. What are the audio cues going to be? When is there a guitar solo? When do the volume need to be pushed up? When does it need to be pushed down? The other thing that we also have is we have a tech crew that is there on the sides of the stage in case anything goes wrong. If a guitar comes unplugged or, you know, a microphone dies. We have basically roadies, just like a professional act would on the side, except these kids are younger students, usually made up of the students that are not necessarily ready to get into the program yet, but they want to. And we're giving them the up close and personal look at what that could be and giving them something to aspire to within their next year or two, so that it helps them see it for really what it is. So being able to offer that in addition to the performances is great. And that's what everybody sees. But there is so much stuff going on behind the scenes. And we are also so incredibly grateful for the relationship we have with the Community Arts Center and the Pennsylvania College of Technology, because our students can go over and talk to their sound guy and talk to their stage hands and talk to their lighting directors and interact with these folks that are doing this for a living as a profession and really get that professional education. And that's always what we're striving to give our students.
Doesn't sound like many places would offer the kinds of things that you do at Uptown.
Well, around this area, we seem to be one of the only places that is doing it the way that we do it, whether that's good, bad, or otherwise. You know, I don't want to speak ill to any of our peers. Everyone doing what they do in the area that we know of, they do a great job at it. But what we do and how we do it, it is wholly our thing. It is wholly an organic thing that we have been working on for, like I said, 25 years and looking to continue on for the next 25 and beyond. It came out of this need of wanting to give students, sometimes deemed quote unquote outsiders, a place to belong and a place to do what they love with peers that love that thing just as much as they do. And that has what the Uptown Music Collective has turned into. Every year we grow, every year we get bigger and better at what we do. And we're always looking down the road to see how we can continue to improve, not only for the organization, but for our students and their families and our alumni and all of it, our entire community.
What kinds of numbers of students do you teach off and on?
As far as student numbers are concerned, I would say on average, we usually have between, right now, we have an average of 125 to 150 students. Now, that age range runs the gauntlet. We teach students in a specialized youth program that start as young as 3 years old called Discovering Music. And we also have our adult music program. Those are retirees and beyond. So running that entire gauntlet of students, we have about, like I said, between 125 to 150. There is definitely an ebb and flow of it, but we do find ourselves staying on the higher end of that scale and growing stronger and stronger as we can. Now, currently, we're hitting a point where we're looking for some more teachers to help join our family because our demand is outpacing the ability we have at the moment. So if you know anybody that is interested in teaching at the collective, please send them our way, because we could absolutely use the help and we could get them the students.
In a certain sense, rather than the reverse, that's a problem you'd like to have, right?
It absolutely is a good problem, but we get so excited whenever we get new students in that we don't want to have a waiting list. You know what I mean? We want these kids in, we want them playing, we want them having a good time, we want them making friends and learning all of the things that go beyond music at the collective that we teach that we can't necessarily quantify, but they get from the experience of being a student. So yes, it absolutely is a good problem to have, but we are hoping to solve that good problem sooner rather than later.
Now you tell us how we can enjoy the Ultimate 90s Mix.
Yes, so the Ultimate 90s Mix is happening Saturday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m. at the Community Arts Center in Williamsport. Tickets are on sale now at the Community Arts Center box office. The easiest way to get them and to pick your seats is to head over to caclive.com and pick your seats, grab your tickets, and come out and have a good time. This show is only one night, so make sure you mark it on your calendars, March 15th. And I think everybody that comes out that are fans of 90s pop rock, they're going to have a really good time with this set list that evening.
Jared Mondell, Assistant Executive Director of the Uptown Music Collective in Williamsport, speaking with us about a very special performance on Saturday, March 15th at the Community Arts Center in Williamsport. It is the third performance of the 2024-2025 season with Wonderwall, the ultimate 90s mix. The Uptown Music Collective presents. And for more information and tickets, caclive.com, caclive.com. And if you'd like to find out more information about the Uptown Music Collective, it's uptownmusic.org, uptownmusic.org. The Uptown Music Collective presenting its third performance of the 2024-2025 season on March 15th, that's a Saturday, Wonderwall, the ultimate 90s mix at the Community Arts Center in downtown Williamsport, one night only. For more information or for tickets, caclive.com or uptownmusic.org, uptownmusic.org.